Second Corinthians chapter number 2. Let me get mic'd up while you're turning there. Second Corinthians chapter number 2. I had planned to preach on prayer this evening. It is something I think many people struggle with. How do you pray? What do you pray for? We went through a few things in our Sunday school class a few weeks ago where we studied the model prayer of the Lord, and it's just a good study. And if you have the questions on, you know, what should we pray for? Well, Jesus gave you the example in the model prayer. After this manner, pray ye. You can find that in Matthew chapter number 6 or 7. In the model prayer in Matthew chapter number 6, while he was giving the Sermon on the Mount, and I felt like the Lord was laying on my heart to study that or to bring that message as I knew I would be preaching tonight, but I just couldn't get peace about it. And as I was praying and seeking what to preach, kind of to go along with my message Sunday morning, there's a lot of things we need to be warned about. And we talked about the armor Sunday morning, the need for the armor, and it's good to prove your armor instead of being an armor bearer, just being familiar with it and never proving it. And I mentioned some of these verses while we was doing this, and this is a message that I've actually preached several years ago. I'm not sure the date of it, but it was a two-part message, and I'm going to do my best to get as much information as we can tonight, because there's several points, and we'll go as the Lord leads, and I believe this would be a help to someone tonight, learning about our enemy. We learned about our need of the armor to protect us from the wiles of the devil, but you're there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Look with me in verse number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 11 says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." It's very important for us to know our enemy. It's very important for us to know our enemy, because our enemy, as we've studied and as we're going to look tonight, he is, if you remember Sunday morning, we talked about the wiles of the devil, and that word, methodia, in the Greek, It also is translated into lying in wait, and that's our enemy. Our enemy is someone who is lying in wait, who's seeking to destroy. He wants to kill, he wants to steal, he wants to destroy, and he wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy those that you love, and it's important that we would not be ignorant of his devices. It's important that, why? So he doesn't get an advantage of us. God has given us his word to help us in our fight against Satan. And so as I was prepared this message, and again, this is a message that I had preached here several years ago, we're reminded that Satan isn't known as one character in the Bible, or say he wears one hat. He's not someone that God just talks about as Satan, Satan, Satan. God refers to him in several different ways for us to realize that Satan just doesn't come at us in one way. It's not someone that we study and say, okay, Satan does this, Satan does that, but God describes him in different ways. In fact, in John chapter 10, God calls him a thief, right? He calls him a thief. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, it says he's transformed himself into an angel of light. Well, those are totally different things. right? You're talking about an angel of light, and then you're talking about a thief. Well, those are two different things. So as you study and you're preparing and you're protecting yourself to defend against the wiles of the devil, you got to know how he's coming at you. And in Revelation chapter 20, it calls him the dragon. It also calls him the serpent, and we know him as a serpent from back in Genesis, the serpent. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, I want you to turn with me there. This is where we're going to kind of bring our message this evening. This is a passage that's very familiar with you. And again, this is what I had kind of alluded to a little bit Sunday. Verse number 8, 1 Peter 5, and verse 8, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." So there's a thief. There's a dragon, a serpent, an angel of light. But there's also this roaring lion. And most of these things, God's using these examples because we can understand them. We can understand Jesus when he talked to the people a lot. He used being a shepherd and being sheep to teach people because they understood that. And so they understood lions. They understood thieves. So these were things they can understand so they can gear themselves up and be ready. You've heard it, and I've heard this saying, that if you want Satan to leave you alone, just don't do anything for God. Right? You've heard that saying? And to a point, yeah, that is true, because when we were studying Sunday, those fiery darts that Satan is throwing at us, to those that are have the armor on, and God's telling us to put on that whole armor that we can quench all those fiery darts of the wicked. Satan has an arsenal of fiery darts for God's servants that are standing and fighting against him. But here, God mentions Satan being a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And if you study a lion, if you know anything about lions, and we do, just sometimes we just don't think about it. We know lions are considered the king of the jungle, right? The most ferocious beast out there. You know, that's the king. Nothing compares to the strength of the lion. They're at the top of the food chain, that we would say, right? We consider them that, the king of the jungle, the lion, a roaring lion. But who does the lion seek? Now, when we're talking about, you know, getting our armor on and all those things, we think of someone who is strong and someone who's ready for battle. The lion, he's not seeking the strongest animal out there. The lion, when he goes hunting, the lion, if he can get one, I mean, he won't pass it up, but the lion doesn't go seeking the big buck. There's some things that if you would study the lion and you watch, if you ever watch any of those nature videos, people film those lions out there, what are they doing? They're seeking who they could devour, but who do they go after? And I wrote some points down here that I think could help us understand the lion. And we're saying, oh, if you just don't do nothing for God, you know, Satan will leave you alone. But the lion goes after the weak ones. Right? When you see that lion going after that pack, they don't just go and run after the strongest one there. They're looking for that weak one. I have here, number one, the wounded. The wounded. That's who the lion's seeking, the one that's already wounded. And if we apply this spiritually, Satan's the same way. It's like an easy kill, right? It's an easy attack. He's seeking whom he may devour. So he's going to go. We talked about this Sunday. He doesn't play fair. He's not looking to play fair. He's not looking to share punches with you. He wants to destroy. He's seeking whom he may devour. And God gave this warning to say, be sober and be vigilant, because he's your adversary and he wants to destroy you. He goes after the wounded. Now, wounded, we get wounded sometimes by self-inflicted wounds, do we not? We hurt ourselves sometimes. It doesn't matter how you got wounded. Sometimes you can get wounded by self-inflicted wounds one way, by being careless. Sometimes we do things that we afterwards, and we hurt ourselves, and when we're bleeding, we think, well, that was the dumbest thing. I work in construction. And they have to show all these videos and have all these safety talks and stuff by people who've done things, and you think, oh, that was dumb. But then sometimes you catch yourself doing something and you hurt yourself, or maybe you come very close and saying, that was stupid of me to do that, because I could have lost a finger, I could have done something. So we have self-inflicted wounds, and sometimes we get those by being careless. We can get self-inflicted wounds by not heeding advice and counsel. Some people warn you. Again, those safety videos and those safety lessons, and we call them toolbox talks, that they do once a week, that they say, hey, never do this. Don't ever do this thing. And if we go out on the job site and we do it and we hurt ourselves, that's just, we didn't heed the advice of others. The warning to say, you can hurt yourself by doing this, so don't do it. And we could do that. Also, there's wounds caused by others. People get wounded by others. People, maybe in this room, you've been wounded by family, a spouse, a friend, someone you thought was a friend. There's, sadly to say, there's people wounded by church, pastors. You can get wounded by others. And Satan is looking for those people that have those wounds, bleeding wounds, when God is saying, come to me, let me help you, let me bandage your wounds, let me clean you up and pour it, like the Good Samaritan, to wrap those wounds and to pour in the oil and bring healing to your life. God wants to bring healing. Sadly, there's a lot of people who like pity, who've been hurt, and they just want to talk, oh, woe is me. This happened to me, and they never want to get over it because they like to pity. Well, sadly to say, Satan's looking for you. He's got you right in his crosshairs. If that is your life, that you've had a wound in your past, you've had someone who's hurt you in your past, and I'm not saying suck it up, but I'm saying allow God to help you. Heal those wounds. Don't sit there and just keep bleeding and keep bleeding so you can say, oh, look at me. Look at me, I've been hurt 20 years ago, and it's still bleeding. That lion's smelling that blood. And if you want to stand against the wiles of the devil, you got to realize he's a lion. He's a lion, and he's looking for whom he may devour. Number one, he does go after the wounded. I've already mentioned this one. He goes after the weak. We think, oh, we just don't do anything for God. Satan will leave us alone. But no, those are the ones he goes after. When that lion is looking and crouching and seeking who he's going to go after in that pack, he's looking for those weak ones, the ones that aren't going to run as fast, that aren't going to keep up with the others if he starts chasing. He's getting his eyes on them, and maybe he'll spook them to see which one lags behind, that's not as weak, or the one that's smaller than the others because they're not growing. People, you get weak by not eating well. As a Christian, we know what our food is, right? God talks about that. We looked in Ephesians chapter 6 where it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In verse number 10, and 1 Peter 2 He says, and we're here in 1 Peter, you can look back there, chapter number 2, verse number 2, as newborn babes desire sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. He's talking about, you know, babies desiring to milk, but God tells us to a point that as you get older, you need to be strong. And a desire that strong meat, but there's people that keep going after that milk. In Hebrews, it tells us that you're supposed to grow, and when you should be teaching others, people have to keep teaching you because you're weak. You're not growing. You're not allowing God to feed you. You're not taking the food. You're not reading your Bible. You're not taking what God has given you, and Satan's looking for you. God's saying, be sober, be vigilant, watch out, know your enemy. Don't be ignorant of his devices. So he is looking for the weak. He's looking for those that aren't going to put up a fight when he's coming after you. That's why he goes after the wounded, why he goes after the weak. I know a third one that a lion will seek. We kind of alluded to it a little bit, the wandering. When a lion attacks, he doesn't just go right after the whole pack of animals or the whole flock that's there. He starts chasing and goes after the weak ones, but also he's watching as they're walking along and they're not aware that lion is there watching them. There may be one that wanders off by itself, away from the pack. He's alone. He doesn't have the strength of the family all around him. He's wandering, gone astray from the fold. That's who the lion's going to go after. This isn't something I'm giving you a nature lesson. This is something you're aware of, but I want us to think of it in the spiritual sense that God is saying the devil is like a lion. And the lion's not, we think, well, the lion's going after our pastor. He's the big buck, the missionary, the evangelist. And yes, he will take them out if he can. And yes, he has an arsenal of fiery darts that he keeps loading their way. But as that lion, we got to realize that as we study our enemy and we don't want to be ignorant of his devices, we can't just think, oh, he's just throwing darts. He's just throwing darts. He's also a lion. He's also a dragon. He's also an angel of light. And that's one thing, and that's not my lesson, but it's definitely something that we need to be aware of. Just because it calls itself a church, or just even because it calls itself a Bible, doesn't mean it's the Word of God. Just because it calls itself a church doesn't mean it's God's church. The devil has transformed himself into an angel of light. He's a copy, a mimic. When he came to Adam and Eve in the garden, what did he do? Quoted scripture, did he not? Twisted around a little. And also caused them to question it. It was a question. Did God say this? Yea, hath God said? When he went to Jesus, did he not quote scripture to him when he tempted him in the wilderness? Again, this isn't my lesson. I'm focusing on that line, but we do need to be aware that he is an angel of light. He has transformed himself into an angel of light. We need to know the scripture to know the difference. God has given us his word that we can know the difference. Peter and them talked about it. You know, if someone preaches another gospel that we don't preach, you don't follow them. You need to mark them. There are false apostles, but they are apostles. There are false teachers, but they are teachers. There's people that fill the pulpits that are false apostles, and that they're instruments of the devil. Because he himself has transformed himself into an angel of light. So we need the Spirit of God. We need the Word of God to show us the difference. I'm sure you've heard it said, far as counterfeits, there's counterfeit money, there's counterfeit stuff out there. to know counterfeits, what do? You know the genuine, real one well enough that when you see a fake, you know it's a fake. You know what the real one is supposed to have. You know what the real one has. You know what the real one says. You know all this stuff about the real one, that when a counterfeit comes, you know it's fake. You don't just, you know, obviously Monopoly money is fake. You don't study Monopoly money to say, well, now I know all the counterfeits. No, you know the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Learn the Word of God. That goes along with being weak, being strong. But he is an angel of light. So the ones that are wandering your way, that's who Satan goes after. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Get close to God. Psalm 91:1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. There, you need to be close to God. Be close to the family of God. Be in church. Don't be wandering off. The ones that wander away from the fold, that sheep, why did the shepherd leave the 99? Because he knows that lion's looking for that one that wandered off. Maybe you've been there, and maybe you could testify and think, you know, I'm so glad that the shepherd came looking for me. And he is. He's trying to draw you back. He's trying to get you back in the fold. He sent me this evening to preach this message and saying, hey, don't wander off. Get close to God. Stay in the house of God. Stay in the Word of God. Because the lion is looking for those weak ones. He's looking for those wounded ones. The wandering ones. You know, another that I know the lion would look for, those that are withdrawn or are wrapped up. They're distracted. They're not paying attention. We got the cares of this world all around us that sometimes can distract us from where we ought to be. Distract us from realizing that there's a lion with his eyes on us, trying to destroy us, trying to devour us, and we allow the things of this world to distract us. Well, we need to focus on God. Get our eyes on God. He can straighten all those things up, give it to God. In fact, in 1 Peter 5:7, the Bible says, casting all your care upon him. Look back at the verse there, in verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And the cares of this world can weigh us down and cause us that when you're sitting here in church, you're thinking about the burdens that have been put on you because of life, because of the cares of this world, and you're not focusing, you're not honed in. And the devil's looking for those that are distracted, those that are withdrawn, wrapped up, ones that could be sleeping. That's another way you could be withdrawn. You're sleeping. Over and over in the Bible, God says, awake. Get up. Wake up. Realize what's going on around us. I think of this one, the weary. Kind of goes along with the weak. But the weary, it's a little different. The weak is someone who just isn't being fed. That's anemic. The weary, I could be someone who's just been laboring a long time, getting faint-hearted. God tells us, you know, that be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't faint. Don't get weary. Allow God to be your strength. Matthew 11, the Bible tells us that we can come to him and he will give us rest. So many times we try to carry the burden of the world without just allowing God to place his yoke upon us and to give us rest that we need. There's people, I mean, you're trying, you're working, you're serving the Lord. You want to do all you can to try to save your family and try to save everyone. It gets weary. God's saying, come to me. Come to me. Don't get weary. Don't faint. Just come to me. Allow me to help. But that is who the lion is looking for. Think of this illustration, and there was a missionary that was serving in Africa years ago, many, many years serving in Africa. He was just faithfully serving, and after many years of service, he decided to come back to the States to visit. And he got on a ship, came back, and as he was approaching the shore there, there were crowds of people. I mean, there was just all this fanfare of people that were there, excited, cheering. He's thinking, wow, what is going on? Is this for me? You know, all these people knew I've been serving across the sea, and they're there cheering, and he's thinking, what is going on? But come to find out that Teddy Roosevelt was over in Africa on a hunting trip. And he was on that ship coming home, and the people were there. Everyone knew that he was coming home, and they were cheering for him. And when he realized, you know, he was just over there on a little vacation hunting, I've been serving for years. Not one person there to greet me, not one person to say, we're so glad you're here. We've been praying for you. We're thankful for you. I came home and nothing. And he was just over there hunting. He was getting a little discouraged as he was thinking about that and talking to God, and Holy Spirit of God just said, but you're not home yet. You're not home yet. When you get home, it'll be different. It'll be different. Don't give up. Don't get weary. Those that have been laboring, those that just think, you know, bus workers that go out week after week, and maybe things are starting to dry up, and people you visit in your neighborhood, and people slam the doors in your face, and people you've loved for years and trying to serve, and they turn against you. Don't get weary. The devil's looking for those that are weary, that have served and just laboring long, and those that are weary. I wrote one last one down, and we'll be done and have a time of prayer. I thought about how, you know, he goes after the wounded, the weak, the wandering, the withdrawn, the weary. Also know that the devil or the lion, because sometimes the lion's lazy. If you see the lion, he's just there laying down, sleeping. There'll be animals all around, but he's unconcerned about them. He's not hungry at the moment, whatever. He's just unconcerned. But when one animal starts making a bunch of noise, yelping, all kinds of stuff, and wakes him up, it gets his attention. And I started thinking of the murmuring, the whiny, the ones that's always loud. Maybe they're always griping, or maybe as far as in a Christian perspective, they're griping or they're gossiping. Those that are being too loud. Sadly, sometimes when that happens and that lion gets woken up and now decides I'm going to devour something, it might not be that loud one that he goes after first, although they're the cause of it. He'll go after the weak or the wounded or whatever. He'll cause it, but he will. And kind of don't blame him to go after that one to give him some peace and quiet. But he does. He goes after the wounded. He goes after the weary, the wandering, sometimes the whiny, the ones that are murmuring and complaining. We talked about the armor. It's so important to realize that the Christian life, God has given us everything we need to be successful, to be able to make it. But we have to take it serious. As I said Sunday, you have to put on the whole armor of God. You can't just decide, well, I'm going to put on this helmet of salvation, and now I'm going to coast on to heaven without a care in the world. No one's going to bother me. Oh, you got a lot of unprotected parts of you. If that's all you're going through life, is that with the helmet. Now, you need the helmet of salvation. But God said, put on that whole armor. Put on this whole armor. And as you do, as you take it important to put on this whole armor of God, you also need to realize that we have a very real enemy that God has warned us. Unless he take advantage of us, we need to not be ignorant of his devices. He is that roaring lion. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. We need to warn others. We need to guard ourselves about being wounded. And again, we get wounded. I'm not saying it's your fault if you get wounded all the time. Sometimes it is self-inflicted, but sometimes someone else wounds you. But instead of advertising, instead of seeking pity from someone else, take it to God and say, God, I need healing. I need healing. God can heal your wounds. Whatever it may be, however bad you've been hurt, God can help you. Not only heal from that, but God can use that to help you help someone else. And instead of sitting there and seeking pity and desiring pity, and we know people like that. Maybe we've been there. We don't want to heal from it because we want everyone feeling sorry from us. We want everyone to know, I've been through this in my life, and we want to stay wounded. We got a lion watching us. We think it's okay to be weak. Again, the ones that say, well, just don't do nothing for God and the devil will leave you alone. That ain't true. That's far from the truth. You don't do nothing for God, you got some teeth that's coming after you. He's seeking whom he may devour, and that's who he goes after, those weak ones. The ones that have wandered off. The ones that are getting weary. Let's be aware. We have a very real enemy who's seeking whom he may devour. Watch your children, teach your children. We talked about Sunday just the importance of having your children prove the things of God so they won't be the weak ones. They won't be the ones that look at it and say, well, this isn't real to me. Ones that have proven it, they've become strong. They are now taking the meat of the word and they're growing thereby. We need it. We have an enemy. Let's all stand for a moment. I'll give you just a moment if as heads bows, eyes closed, to do business with God. And then we'll take some time, some prayer requests, and we'll have some time of prayer together.